It's recording.
Judging civilization, and we are recording. Okay. Judging civilization. Okay, so criteria number one in judging civilization is what is the highest value of the society? Okay, what's the highest value of the society? What do you think, what do we mean by the highest value?
Moral value, the most prized thing they have in their society.
The thing that controls everything else,
yeah.
But nothing controls it. Yes, right? Is that right? This is what you want to say, Mahan?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is, the highest value is the value that controls everything. Now, we have two alternatives. The highest value being moral values, or the highest value being farms and economy. Huh? So if the society is civilized, then the highest value is moral values. The highest value is moral values. Okay? Or the highest value are moral values. Got it? But if this society is not civilized, then would the highest value be what? Money. Okay? And we give an example before about Lake Tahoe, where you get two hotels right across the street from each other. One hotel, prostitution and gambling is legal. The other hotel, prostitution and gambling is illegal. And this is ridiculous because it's like across the street from each other. So here, prostitution and gambling are legal. Here, they are illegal. Just two hotels across the street from each other. So the moral values changed. So what controls what? The moral value controls the economy, or the economy controls the moral values? So the economy is the highest value, basically. So a civilized society, highest value is the moral value. And a non-civilized society, the highest value is money. As money, finances, and things like that. Okay, the second thing to judge the civilization is the role of women. The product of a woman is very honorable product, which is? Very, very, very honorable project, which is? What's the product of a woman? It's a human being, right? Could be more honorable than a job, the product being a human being. You know, which one is more? The man, what's the man product? The product of a man is what? Desk, labor, tuna can. Pepsi can, soda can, bridges, streets, roads, faucets, buildings, garage structures. These are all products of men. Okay? Which one is more honorable? The product of men or the product of women?
Women.
Why? Because?
Creating.
Yes. The society that civilized the society is the society where mothers are taking care of their children. Mothers are producing a human being by birth and then by raising this human being to be a good member of the society. So that's their job. If the majority of women are doing that, yes.
What about those women who get jobs? Is that still moral?
Yes, it's moral, but I'm talking about the majority. If the majority of the women in society are mothers who take care of their children, then this society is civilized. But if the society prefers that this mother becomes a servant in a restaurant, or one who cleans bathrooms, or a flight attendant, or, you know, whatever job, the society that is pushing and requiring women and girls to work and to be busy with other than building children is what is not civilized the society. Okay, so what's the second criteria? The job, the role of women. Okay, if it is to build a human being, then it's an honorable thing, then it is a civilized society. But if she's not, or if she's taken away, if she forced it away from this by having to go to work, by being a single mother, or by any reason, if she's taken away from this job, then this society is not civilized society. Okay. The third value, source of new generation. And this is really, really, really very critical issue. Where the babies are coming from? Babies are coming from where? From healthy marriage, or like a marriage, a family, mother and father, married mother and father, or coming from outside of marriage. They call it outside of wedlock, right? That's the term they use, outside of wedlock. So which... From the babies are coming from outside of the marriage or from within the marriage? If it's a civilized society, then new children are coming from marriage. A husband and a wife. And they have children. That's a civilized society. Uncivilized society where the new babies are born, okay, to a single mother. Okay? And this is uncivilized society. So that's criteria, it's really important. And let me give you a few numbers here that I looked up yesterday. They say, in the United States, females age 15 to 19, okay? And it was 750,000 pregnant teenager, 750,000 pregnant teenager for single mothers in the year 2014 and 2001. Last year or the year before in 2014.
Wait, that's too many numbers. I can't. Wait, Matthew.
Wait, can you repeat that, please?
From 15, 19?
750,000.
750,000. Okay. 50,000. Okay, in 2001. This one, 2001.
Okay.
750,000 babies. Do you know the expression bastard? What does it mean, bastard?
Oh, here.
You bastard!
Pickles.
Habib.
Oh my gosh, can't. Son that was born without a father.
Yes, oh. Was born outside of marriage. This is called bastard. If you want to insult somebody, actually in Egypt, same thing. Or in Egypt and the countries, the Arab countries that I have been to, okay, they say if you call somebody Ibn Haram means that he is a bastard. He came from outside of marriage.
But still, I prefer you guys not to say it because it's connotated with a bad word.
But let's talk here. Let's talk here about 750,000 babies who are going to end up with single mothers. Nobody's there to take care of them. They have to go to work to get an income to spend on them and the baby. And the babies, yes. Who is going to take care of the baby? Who? Mom has to work. Who's going to take care of the baby? Any answers? Just put some, dump him in somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. So, but these are expensive. You know what? They say where are the statistics about that? Yeah, okay. They say 64% in 1990, 64% new babies are bastards, are from outside of marriage. So, you know what? 64%, it means that for every 100 babies, 64 of them are bastards. You imagine? So we have more bastards than more regulars. Brother Musbah.
The kids have got here in this class. I gave them a card to sign to get from the office, I guess, a card for $10. So they went, they couldn't find the cards. So I just made an order.
$10? How many kids?
About 13.
You want to give 13 kids $10 for semester? Okay.
If you don't have the budget, let me know.
No, that's fine. Let me talk to you. No, you don't have to donate yet. But is that giving $5 at the beginning? $5 per person is very good. That is the, because in order to make the other kids, make it fair, that's what I'm saying. Is $5 because you already mentioned $10?
I mentioned $10 to you.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, you're talking about more than half. More than half are pastors. You imagine? And in the United Kingdom, the same statistics also. More than 50% of the kids are bastards. So do you imagine this is a lot. Now remember that I have not included the miscarriages. Miscarriages, like the care that the baby died. The baby died in his mother's womb, and we did not calculate the abortion. We just calculated the newborn. The newborn, that's what we calculated. The newborn. But if during the process the baby was aborted, or if it's a miscarriage means the pregnancy fails. The pregnancy fails, the baby dies, and it goes down. Okay? You got that? If we count those, I bet you it's going to be more than 750,000. Yes.
Okay. So if it was 750,000 in 2001, then it must have multiplied by so much.
No, actually, it's getting less.
Yeah.
It's getting less.
Oh, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing, yeah. That's a good thing.
But let's not forget what else just became legal.
So, now, I can, with all pride, I can say that this is almost nothing. Of this problem of pregnant teenagers is non-existing in Egypt and Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, 0%. I can tell you, 0%. Very, very conservative society. In Egypt, you can rarely find a case like that. You can count the cases on your hand, finger, on your fingers, you know? It's something. And in Pakistan too, in Bangladesh. Did you hear about single mothers there? Did you hear about bastards there? Babies born from outside of marriage? Did you hear about that? Did you? Muslim countries are doing really, really well in this area. Really well. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made three lines of defense. For hijab, Allah created, for the unlawful relationship between male and female, Allah created several lines of defense. When male and female meet each other, there's a possibility of romance, right? There is a possibility of romance. Even when they get closer, then it's more possibility for romance. Okay? So when the distance between boys and girls gets smaller, the possibility of romance gets higher. So now, Islam drew lines so that you avoid romance. What I mean by romance, I mean haram romance, not halal romance. Haram romance, which is going to bed, basically, whatever the guys call it, or engage in a relationship that produces babies. So Allah wanted this not to happen. So Allah called it adultery, called it fornication. Allah doesn't want this to happen. So Allah made three lines of defense. And then Allah didn't say, don't commit adultery. No. Allah says, don't approach adultery. Why? Because there are three lines of defense, and every one of them is haram to cross. The first line of defense is the hijab. Hijab of a girl chases away guys who have indecent plans or indecent thoughts. If a guy wants to date, would he date somebody wearing the hijab or somebody who's wearing a short?
Short,
right? Is it? So your hijab is the beginning of the road. You know, your hijab is would be a barrier between you and those boys who have indecent intentions. Go ahead.
Yeah, at school they actually make it for short. Like they say you can wear sweatpants if you want, and then it's always so annoying when it's summertime and let's say you have 6th period PE, and then all the girls and boys come up to you and they're like, why are you wearing sweatpants? Why are you wearing it? And I feel like school shouldn't really encourage that kind of stuff. Especially when the shorts are all the way to here.
Yeah, but this would make you're being distinguished. You're being known as a woman of righteousness, or a righteous woman, or a righteous girl. So, if you're not wearing the hijab, when boys approach you, they can have either ethical intents or dirty intents. Okay? It's either ethical business or unethical business. Ethical business, doing a project, reading a book, or whatever it is, okay? Unethical business is when they are interested into romance and dating, okay? So, if you're not wearing the hijab and those boys approach you, then it's either ethical or non-ethical. You never know. Later on, you can figure it out, you do not know from the beginning. But if you're wearing the hijab, it's very, very likely. It's almost like close to the impossible that somebody would want to date you while you're wearing hijab. That doesn't happen. Why? Because the hijab is the first line of defense. Okay? Now, what is the second line of defense? Let's say you took off your hijab. Would that it? No. There's a second line of defense. What is the second line of defense? Is the shyness of the girl. Shyness. Girls are shy. Girls are shy away. You know, in Egypt and Muslim countries, girls shy away. When she gets when somebody proposes to them to marry them, and they are asking, you know, their face gets kind of red. They get shy. You know, the shyness of girls. Of course, I'm not talking about the ones who wear pants. There are girls who have no shyness at all. They don't mind showing a lot of their body. Okay? But the Muslim girls, the girls in general, have shyness. And this shyness is another line of defense that prevents dating and unethical romance. Or bad, unauthorized romance, basically. Okay. And now, what is the third line of defense? The third line of defense is boys and girls can't be alone. A boy and a girl can't be alone in a private place. Not in a private place. Why? The Prophet ﷺ says that no man should be alone with a woman in a private place, even if he's teaching her Quran. The Prophet Muhammad says, no, they can't be alone. Okay? And there is another hadith that says that when a man and a woman, or a boy and a girl, are together in a private place, then the shaitan is going to be the third. Yeah, shaitan. This will generate chemistry, this will generate unethical temptations, right? So, you can say, with my dress, Muhammad, you can say, with my dress, I make sure I'm not, well, or you understand, put this concept in your head, you're not propagating unethical temptations. When you wear dress modestly, then you're sure that your clothes is not propagating unethical temptations. But if you're not dressed nicely, then your clothes will propagate unethical temptations. Okay? You understand that? Okay. So, basically, when we look at the statistics of pregnant teenagers and the statistics of kids getting bastard kids, Muslims are very civilized in this area. Very civilized in this area. And usually, that's why Muslim women are precious in back countries, back in Egypt and Saudi Arabia, and probably Pakistan, Bangladesh, India. Women are so precious. Do you know the saying that says, why buy the milk if you can get why buy the cow if you get the milk for free? Do you know this expression? Haven't heard about it? Who heard about this expression? Why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? Same thing. Did you hear that expression, Zaina?
No, I think so.
Why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free?
Huh? It makes sense, but no, I've never heard it before.
How about why buy the chicken if you can get the eggs for free?
No,
okay. All right. It means what? It means that marriage is a lot of commitment. A lot of commitment. And divorce is bankruptcy. You got it? Divorce causes bankruptcy to people. That's divorce. Marriage has a lot of commitment to guys. So, to them, if they can get the joy, they can get the joy for free, the joy of romance. If they get the joy of romance for free, then why marry? So the joy of romance is the milk. Okay? And the girl is the cow. You understand? You understand the analogy? So the girl is the cow. And the milk is the romance. So why get married if you can get the romance for free? This is why there is no free romance in Egypt or Pakistan or the Muslim countries. There's nothing called free romance. Everybody has to be married. You know, there is a story here that really touches my heart. When there was I was teaching in the University of Evansville, Indiana, for about 40 years. Over there in the winter, it's negative temperatures. Very, really cold. It is really, really cold, girls. Really cold. And I was wearing a jacket and